it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The Athletic.
And that's the full-time whistle here at Stamford Bridge. Barcelona are through to the Champions League final. They've beaten Chelsea 2-1 in front of the sellout crowd on aggregate. The Chelsea players went to their knees. They gave that everything. Emma Hayes, head in her hands. The Barcelona players hugging on the pitch. And the subdued sellout crowd at Stamford Bridge can't believe that their side have just missed out on the Champions League final. Both managers leaving their clubs at the end of this season. This result means that Emma Hayes will not win the Champions League trophy as Chelsea manager, despite 11 plus years of trying. And it's the only trophy she's never won. The fairy tale ending was not to be. But for Jonathan Giraldez, he could make it 3 Champions League titles for Barcelona before he goes. It was reigning Ballon d'Or winner Aitana Bonmatí that gave Barcelona the lead midway through the first half. Then Chelsea went down to 10 players with half an hour to go after Khadija Buchanan picked up a second yellow. Then it was a penalty for Barcelona scored by Fridolina Rolfo. Chelsea brought on Millie Bright up front, back from injury, her first appearance since November, but they couldn't get the goal that they needed. Sat next to me watching this match is the Athletic's Charlotte Harper. What a dramatic game at Stamford Bridge, Charlotte.
Dramatic, nail-biting, cagey. It's just end-to-end. Chelsea did give Barcelona a run for their money, but Barcelona dominated today. They were the better team throughout. Chelsea didn't take their chances when they could have done.
And you can see those Barcelona players in a huddle jumping up and down. You can see what it means to them to reach their 4th Champions League final in a row. But for Emma Hayes, it's a massive moment for her Chelsea career. She's not going to get that Champions League trophy.
Barcelona are loving this. I'm just seeing them walking over to their fans who are joyous, but they're being booed. And I think that makes it even sweeter for Barcelona's victory. But for Emma Hayes, yes, this was one of, if not the defining game of her career. She won't win the Champions League as a Chelsea manager. And I know she won it with Arsenal, but God, this is going to be a tough pill to swallow. And it just leaves a bitter taste in your mouth heading into the WSL run-in.
And I'm sure it's a bitter taste in a lot of the fans' mouths. It was a home attendance record here at Stamford Bridge. Sold out Stamford Bridge, the first time that's ever happened for a women's team. Quite a moment for Chelsea. Obviously not the result they'd want with that atmosphere, but what did you make of the atmosphere today?
The atmosphere was the best it has ever been at Stamford Bridge for a women's game. The crowd definitely got behind Chelsea, but it's not a hostile atmosphere. I don't think they ever tested Barcelona or really made Barcelona feel uncomfortable. It wasn't an aggressive. I've been to Camp Nou at Barcelona Real Madrid and there's piercing whistles all the time, so there's still growth to build for the fan base at Stamford Bridge. That's to take nothing away from them. They really got behind their team, but as we've discussed about before, that rivalry between the big teams, there's still more to come from the women's game.
Definitely. And the Chelsea players just applauding those fans on the pitch right now. We've got Neve Charles putting her head on her friend's shoulder. And you can just see from the way they're walking just how disappointed they are. The Barcelona fans jumping up and down, waving their shirts around. It really is a huge moment for them. Do you feel like this was the deserved win for Barcelona or a case of decisions that didn't quite go Chelsea's way?
No, I think Barcelona deserved to win this game. Bonmatí's strike, yes, it was a wicked deflection from Khadija Buchanan, but they went ahead, they got the goal. We knew that whoever started off well and started off with that first goal would have the advantage going into it. Chelsea, a debatable red card. I thought it was a soft second yellow, a soft penalty, and they worked their socks off with 10 players since the 59th minute, but they just looked emotionally and physically exhausted. It's horrible playing Barcelona with 11 players, let alone 10. And they will be bitterly, bitterly disappointed. And I think, like last year, Chelsea have lost it in the home tie. Their performances away from home were better 2 years in a row.
And perhaps a little bit of desperation bringing Millie Bright on for her first start since November, coming back from injury, putting her on up front. There was just nothing more they could do at that point, was there?
Emma Hayes, she's applauding the fans now, blowing a kiss to them, holding her hand to her badge, but she threw the whole kitchen sink at the end there with 10 minutes to go. Bright, who hasn't played since the 15th of November, Kirby and Perisse all coming on, but it was too little, too late, and you have to have context that they're without any striker, no Sam Kerr, no Mia Fischel, no Mara Ramirez, who was absolutely sensational in the first leg. And then centre-backs as well, Natalie Bjorn, Mara Mielder and Millie Bright only coming back into the squad fit for this game. So Chelsea have, you know, fought really hard, and there is no shame going out against this Barcelona side, who are the best in the world.
That Barcelona side, the defending champions, two-time winners, walking around, thanking all the crowd. Right, Charlotte, I'll have to let you go and speak to those players now. We'll be hearing that reaction from the players and more from Charlotte later on. Time for me to go around the ground and see who I can find. I've just bumped into Spanish journalist Marc Andrés. Marc, what a moment for Barcelona, getting into their fourth Champions League final in a row. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, it's history. It's history or herstory in this case, because they've done amazingly all throughout the seasons, and this is a moment that they will never forget. Because we were talking during the week, during the build-up, that you know, this team like had the comeback against Wolfsburg last year, but on a tie, they never lost a game at home, and then came back to go through to the next round. So. This moment was a huge, huge moment, because there were doubts after Chelsea played really, really well in Montjuic. But this team proved that it can rise to the occasion, no matter the circumstances, no matter the referee decisions. This team rises to the occasion, and tonight they played a really, really well game. And, well, I think it's deserved that they go through the final.
And obviously for Jonathan Giraldes, this is his last season as Barcelona manager, and the final is in Spain, isn't it? It's in Bilbao, so that even makes it an even bigger moment for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, this is a bit of a funny story, but a lot of fans of Barcelona have already their tickets for the final in Bilbao, so they were desperate to see the team in Bilbao, because everyone will travel, because it's not... It's not expensive, because you can go by car. It's like 5 hours from Barcelona by car. So the team needs, the fans needed it, and obviously the team needs it. Not only for Giraldes, but every player wants to win, wants to keep winning, wants to make a legacy in Barcelona, and that's what they're doing right now.
And what did you make of that Barcelona performance? We can see the players still on the pitch celebrating, taking photos. What did you make of that performance? Obviously the goal from Bonmatí, and then that penalty from Rolfo.
Yeah, I think that we haven't seen like the best version of Barcelona, but credit to Chelsea, they played a really, really well, really good game. I really did think that Barcelona took a chance, took advantage of the mistakes that Chelsea did, whether it was creating the play with the ball or without the ball, not covering enough well the spaces in the defense. But yeah, they played a bit of a Chelsea game in some moments of the match. And but they were able to succeed with the 1-0 at the halftime, courtesy of Aitana. And then at second half, yeah, I think the penalty may be a little soft. I know if any men's fans are listening to us, they will remember what happened in El Clásico last week, and all this turmoil with penalties recently. I think it's a bit soft. I would understand if they didn't call that. What's most important for me, or what I was more impressed by the most, is that they prevented Chelsea from creating any clear-cut chances after they went 2 goals up. So that's I think, a really big step for the progress of this team, which is already big enough.
And did you think Barcelona made the most of Chelsea going down to 10 players? Do you think that that was kind of the moment that swung the game?
I think that moment, you could say, that swung the game. I don't think that it was like completely decisive, but I do think that it swung the game, because I said that the penalty was iffy. I think the second yellow to Buchanan is fair. I think she steps on Patri's foot. But what I saw was Barcelona that after the 1-0 up, they were kind of in control of the match. Chelsea didn't have that many chances after they went down to 10 players. But after they went up 2 goals, so they were through on the tie, I saw nervousness, which I understand, because you're playing for a place in the Champions League final, and I understand the nervousness. I understand the jitters that can appear, because normally Barca, when they dominate the ball, they want to have possession, they want to have control, they pass it, they don't let you touch the ball. And today I saw a bit of get the ball, get rid of the ball, get the ball as farther away as possible from our goalie, as farther as possible from our area. So yeah. I saw nervousness, but I'm not in a position to criticize, because I understand the feelings and the nervousness and the mental aspect of this game. It's really, really difficult to dominate a mental aspect of this game with this stadium, with this crowd, with this atmosphere, but they went through.
What do you think the scenes are going to be like in Barcelona and back in Spain, kind of reacting to Barcelona making it through to that Champions League final?
I mean, the crowd in Barcelona will be ecstatic, obviously. Like I said, many, many fans had their tickets bought to Bilbao. They have their hotels, they have their media of transportation, they have everything. They have everything, and they can't wait. They can't wait to pack their things and go to Bilbao. There will be people from all over Spain, because Barcelona really has achieved that status in women's football, and everyone in Barcelona will be celebrating, because everyone that I know has a ticket to Bilbao.
That's brilliant. And we can see the travelling fans from Barcelona holding up their scarves, cheering the players as they come past them walking on the pitch. You can tell it's been quite a moment for them. Right, thank you so much for joining me, Mark. I'm going to go and see who else I can find around the stadium.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I've just come through the rain over the road from Stamford Bridge to the Butcher's Hook pub, where I've met the Athletic's Michael Cox. Michael, that was a very nervy game, wasn't it? What do you think of the tactical approach from Emma Hayes and Jonathan Giraldis in that one?
I thought Hayes did pretty much the same as the first leg, really, which worked for them really well. And I think overall, over the two legs, in terms of how many chances they conceded, I don't think Barcelona created anything, really. I mean, 2 goals they scored, a lucky deflection and a penalty. But I didn't think Chelsea were ever opened up. I thought the back five worked really well for them. I like the fact that Hayes didn't overthink it. She just played the same as the first leg, pretty much. And I thought Barcelona actually, I thought Geraldes tried a couple of new things, like moving Rolfa forward to the left of the attack. I didn't think that worked at all. Brought in Onabagio, left back, and I didn't think Barcelona really created anything. And the only regret for Chelsea is they had 3 good chances tonight, 3 cutbacks, didn't convert them. But that was the difference, really.
I think it was interesting, those missed chances from Chelsea. Obviously hitting the crossbar with Melanie Lopez, and then Shurka Nyuskin hitting the post as well. In terms of Chelsea's attack, obviously they didn't have Mara Ramirez. She was their focal point of their attack in the first leg. Sam Kerr's out with an ACL injury, so you had Kat Macario playing alongside Lauren James. Did you think they lacked that focal point in attack? Do you think that was kind of their undoing today?
Maybe. I mean, I thought, because they spent so long without the ball, I actually thought Lauren James was a decent centre-forward, because she's got the pace, she can stretch the play. Obviously, you'd rather have Kerr or Ramirez, who are both very good at going in behind. But I actually thought it worked. I thought Lauren James played that role quite well. I mean, they had the chances. They did have it. It wasn't like they just parked the bus for 180 minutes. They had the chances in this game. And I think from Hayes, you can't really criticise the approach. It was at the end of the day, it was just the players not quite performing in the big moments.
And in terms of Barcelona then, you said obviously not a stellar performance from them. What more do you think they could have done? Obviously, they had Rolfo in place of Mariona Caliente. Did you think that worked for them? What did you make of them?
I mean, not that they played well in the first game, but I just thought their front three were quite disconnected. Like Rolfo and Graham Hansen, really good players, all about speed, but they played very wide. I didn't think with those two in Parallelo, there was no real connection. When Mariona plays in general, maybe not in the first leg, but in general, she comes inside, she knits things together, she plays like another Bombassi between the lines. But I didn't think they really, their combination play I thought was basically non-existent. Tonight and in the first leg, I think the only good move they put together over the two legs was the incident where they got awarded a penalty and then it got revoked through VAR. I thought that was a really good passing move. But otherwise, it wasn't really Barcelona football. I think Chelsea deserve a lot of credit for that.
Obviously, it was tough for Chelsea. They were trying to throw the kitchen sink at it at the end, weren't they? They brought on Millie Bright, who hasn't played since November. They brought her on up front, which I think you joked about in a previous podcast. What did you make of that move, bringing her on?
Yeah, that was how desperate they got. I mean, she didn't really have a chance to get involved. But, I mean, fair play. They brought on so many attacking players. You realise how big their squad is when they can bring on Kirby and Guru Wright and a couple of others, Eve Perisay, just for fresh legs. They did go for it, but when you're chasing for 180 minutes against Barcelona and you're down to 10, yeah, I don't think they had any real chance of getting back in it, to be honest.
It's a tough one to analyse, isn't it? Because as you say, you know, Chelsea had their chances, they didn't take them. Barcelona were sort of for the taking.
I think Hayes will probably think about this tie every day for the next year or so. Like, because I don't think she could have done anything else. It was, they completely denied Barcelona any clear chances in open play, aside from maybe the Puteas one at the end of the first leg. And they created chances. They scored one goal in the first leg, which they would have taken. Had three or four good chances here. It was, yeah, I thought tactically Chelsea were really good. They just didn't convert the chances.
And if you're Jonathan Gerrardes heading into this final, what do you do to kind of get that mojo back for Barcelona? Are there changes that you'd make in terms of formation or positioning, or what would you do? Obviously, it will depend on the opposition.
I didn't think Rolfo worked on left wing. I know she's a left winger by nature. She plays there for Sweden, but for Barcelona, she plays the left back role very well. And I really like Caudente. I think she's massively underrated. She really gets the best out of others, so I'd be surprised if she didn't start the final.
Well, I'll let you get back to your drink now in the pub, Michael, but thank you so much for joining us. Hope the tube's not too busy on the way home. I'm going to head back to the press room where the press conferences are being held right now. The Barcelona fans are out in full force outside Stamford Bridge, banging the drums, chanting for their team, waving their flags, celebrating reaching that Champions League final. Right, back into the press room for me. I found The Athletic's Charlotte Harper and Katie Wyatt, who've been hearing for the players and the managers after the match. We're sat in Stamford Bridge, which is now empty. It's being cleared up after that sold-out crowd. Katie, Emma Hayes' last game at Stamford Bridge, no Champions League title with Chelsea, stopped by Barcelona again. They beat them in the 2021 Champions League final and in the semi-finals last year. What was Emma Hayes' mood like at that press conference?
Yeah, that was the most emotional I've ever seen Emma Hayes. When she came in, she looked very glassy-eyed and the press officer gave her a very sort of look and mouthed, "You okay?" And Emma nodded and got on with the press conference. And it was quite brief because there were translations for the Spanish press between the questions, so she only took 5 or 6 questions. And you could tell that she was very, very emotional. And we all saw her moving around the pitch at full time, looking as if she was on the brink of tears. And not that emotional here. She was very contained with the way that she spoke, but you could see that she was feeling very defeated, and she spoke a lot about the refereeing decisions, which I'm sure we'll discuss, and how, very tellingly, she felt that Chelsea didn't have the chance to lose the game and that it was taken out of their hands by those decisions. So I think that she felt a real powerlessness and helplessness in the face of that, and probably a real devastated. You could see how visibly devastated she was, but there's that real frustration of this is the weakest that this Barcelona side have been, them there for the taking compared to the way that they were last year, the year before that. And I think that she just feels that it was such a thing that was ripped away from them before they even had the chance to lose it, as she was saying. So, yeah, I think you could really, really see her emotions were pretty close to the surface.
And you could see on the touchline, couldn't you, during the game, how much it meant to her. She was kind of jumping up and down when decisions went against Chelsea. She had her head in her hands at points. Charlotte, you've been talking to the players. Just give us a sense of just what the mood was like among the Barcelona and Chelsea players after that.
I focus mainly on Chelsea players. Obviously disappointed, quite crestfallen.
Let's hear what some of those players have been saying now then. Charlotte's been speaking to Jess Carter, Fran Kirby and Honor Battier.
Yeah, obviously disappointed. I think after such a disciplined first leg, obviously disappointed with the second leg, because I think, you know, the goal came from lack of discipline of jumping out at the wrong times, and then you can't give the ball back to Barcelona for 90 minutes and expect to win a game, to be honest. I mean, for the possession they had, I think we had a few like really big opportunities, and against top teams you literally get one or two opportunities, and if you don't take them you end up with a result like tonight.
I know it's a huge team performance, but Emma's game, last game at Stamford Bridge, how important was this match for her legacy, do you think, at Chelsea?
If I'm being totally honest, I think it's not about Emma today. I think it was just about Chelsea as a collective. We don't play just for Emma, we play for ourselves and the fans and everything that we all put into every single game. You know, Emma desperately wanted to win, but no more than what we all did. So I think we're all equally disappointed today.
Fran, you've been at this club a long, long time. Can you sum up how that defeat feels?
Yeah, obviously it's disappointing coming in with a 1-0 lead, and you know, we know that Barcelona are a top quality side, and we know that, you know, the chances that we had we have to put away. But yeah, I think it's disappointing, it's hard to take, but you know, we have to focus on the next thing now, and focus on the next game, because it comes quite quickly.
How important was this game for Emma's legacy?
Yeah, I mean, we all know what Emma has done for the club, what so many of us have done for the club over so many years. And yeah, obviously we're gutted that we, you know, couldn't get over the line today. And you know, what Emma has built here, it's not defined by one game. And that's the same for every single player in this team who's been here for, you know, like Millie has been here for 10 years, myself, I've been here for 9 years. So this one game doesn't define anything for Emma or anyone else. So yeah, she can, you know, leave the club very proud of everything she's done, and you know, I hope that she takes that with her.
So happy, everyone is so happy. We enjoyed, we knew what we had to do. It was a tough game, of course. It was Chelsea, so we just went there, we believed, and we worked it out.
Everyone speaks about the competitiveness of the WSL. Chelsea are reigning champions in the WSL. How sweet is this victory against one of the best English sides?
I mean, I've been in England, it's true. Like, I feel like this league is so competitiveness. But I think we as a team, when we have to get this out, we do it. As we showed today, I think we know, and mentally as well, we've been working a lot to be in these scenarios now and take it out and try to win it, yeah.
That was Jess Carter, Fran Kirby and Barcelona's Honor Battier. Charlotte, just picking up on what Jess Carter was saying there about kind of not playing for Emma Hayes, because obviously the story that we've all been talking about is that Emma Hayes didn't get that Champions League trophy, but it is an impact on the whole team, isn't it? They're not going to a Champions League final. It's not just about Emma Hayes, I suppose.
Exactly. Players' careers are short. You only get these few opportunities to play in Champions League finals once, and they are pinnacles of your career besides the World Cup. On the domestic stage, the Champions League final is the Holy Grail. So, of course, you know, there is talk about Emma Hayes's legacy, what she's done for the club, how important this game was to take them to the final, but it also impacts their individual careers.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Katie, you were listening to what Emma Hayes said in the press conference, and you said we'd get into her comments on the refereeing decision. She did say we were robbed. It was the worst decision in Women's Champions League history. She felt like it was very tough to take that loss, not necessarily because of Barcelona's performance, but just because of that referee decision. What did you make of what she said there?
Yeah, again, it was the most emotional that I've seen her about it, because we had, after the Manchester United game, she was very philosophical to the point where some Chelsea fans were a little bit irked, saying, oh, she doesn't care enough, this being the FA Cup semi-final defeat. And she did go into refereeing decisions there and made the point of the game's moving at a better rate. Why can't we have VAR? Why can't the refereeing standards improve? And she made the point here that she has put so much emotional energy into this, and players train so hard and work so hard. And Hayes is a manager who's always been very open about the mental toll and the physical toll of doing something that demands as much of you as this. And she linked back in the press conference saying, we put all of that energy in, and then the refereeing isn't up to that standard. Why isn't that up to the energy level that they're investing in? And she was talking about how she knew of this referee when she saw the appointment, knew that she was very card happy and tended to give fouls that were quite soft. So she had a lot of reservations about not going into it. So it was a sort of very typical Emma Hayes to underscore the human side of that. But I think it's probably a conversation that we keep having, but these are the highest stakes that it's ever been for Chelsea and for Emma Hayes.
Definitely, Charlotte. Obviously, you were talking to the players a bit about that penalty decision. They were saying it was soft. What did you make of it yourself?
I think it was soft, especially the penalty. I don't know how much contact Jess Carter had on Aitana Bonmatí. I think she went down quite easily. But as Jonathan Heraldo said in his press conference, they had a penalty decision ruled out by a millimetre because of offside in the build-up. So swings and roundabouts. But even before those decisions, Chelsea didn't take their chances, and it's a game. It's such a cliche. It's a game of fine margins. But when Barcelona go 1-0 up and get the first goal and set the tone and dominate, Chelsea had to get back into that game. They had opportunities. Loui pulls off the crossbar, and they didn't take them before those decisions were made.
We have to talk about what this means for Emma Hayes and her legacy as Chelsea manager. Katie, you said something really interesting to me before the press conference. You're saying that you actually don't think that this defines Emma Hayes's legacy as Chelsea manager.
Yeah, I've been mulling over this answer during the game to try and work out how I feel about it, because I think it all depends on how much emphasis she put on the Champions League, right? Because that's the one that she hasn't won. And I think her legacy is pretty much what it was this morning, in terms of they're going for a fifth successive WSL title. They don't win it. They've still won four in a row. They've still won everything domestically there is to win. She is still a manager that has taken on a club that had no resourcing for the women's game. She started with an office and has made them into a side that, for all we've said, oh yeah, the WSL title race has gone down to the last game last year. For years and years and years, no one's ever really run Chelsea close on that domestic front in the league. They've won, had so many competitions where they've won trebles, doubles, season after season after season. So in that sense, and we've been coming today that this was a real culmination for her, looking at a sold-out Stamford Bridge. And as her as a spearhead for the women's game, as a talking head for the women's game, a spokesperson for the women's game, all of the traction and the momentum, she takes a huge deal of credit for that. So all of those things are still standing irrespective of how they've done in the Champions League. And I know this is going to be the kind of thing that City and United and Arsenal fans will say, oh, you're being very soppy, you're being very sentimental, because given what they're like on Twitter, and there was a lot of relish tonight at them not getting even being on for the double, and oh, they've lost another trophy, Chelsea, there's a lot of relish and a lot of happy opposition fans about that. But I think that is very much the case, that is unchanged regardless of that tonight. But then there is that thing, and I think that Emma Hayes will probably admit it herself, having come so close today, that the Champions League has given Chelsea wonderful moments and wonderful stories. We had the Mielda penalty here last year against Lyon to knock Lyon out on penalties. Then she was taking another penalty. Then we had the Mielda goal against PSG a few years ago on an away turf. And those really emphatic moments of coming close against the big teams and taking on just moments of real narrative and storytelling that have been fantastic. But it's always that, oh, so close but no cigar thing. And I think, I mean, it's hard because you can't really sum it up succinctly. Like, Emma Hayes is one of the best managers, either gender, any league that this country's ever produced. But they've not they've not won the Champions League, so is she? You can't argue that she's not elite, but you can't say greatest manager in the women's game ever because they've not won it. And it's just, you end up going round in circles saying, oh, how much emphasis do you put on that? How far do you go in that column? Do you say she's one of the greatest of all time, but not the greatest of all time of it? And it's very, very hard to put it because there's nothing comparable in the women's game. There's no one who has, even Nick Cushing, who won all the things that he did with City, didn't have that charisma and that personality element and that cult of interest in the team that he'd assembled, and obviously was starting from very different starting point at City with the money that he invested. So there's nothing comparable, and it's very hard to pin it down and say what it means, because clearly they've not had that European dominance like a Lyon or a Barcelona have had, but they've still set the pace here in England for years and years and years. So I don't know how you quantify it. I think it's probably the same. However you defined it this morning is still what it is. But I mean, I'm interested to hear Charlotte's thoughts.
Well, I've got to try and sum that up in the next 10 hours. I think if you're talking about Emma Hayes's legacy for the club, like as Katie says, I think that's unchanged. This defeat is not going to define Emma Hayes at Chelsea. But I think personally, like her personal legacy, that's going to hurt. Like, she says she won it as an assistant with Arsenal, but it's the one that got away, right? It's the one that you go just think, what if? And I think, you know, all managers want to win trophies. All managers, like us humans, have egos, and bigger egos because they're managers of football teams. And I think having that Champions League not quite ticked off, that's going to irk her. It has to.
And I think it's going to be more painful than it was when they lost to Barcelona in the lockdown Champions League, where there were no fans watching. It was empty stadium. Was it 2021, that final?
Yeah.
And it was such a... They were so powerless in Barcelona. We just saw Street's head that all she could do was rearrange her deck chairs. And the silver lining of that was that there was no what if. There was no anguish moment. There was no what if so-and-so had crossed at this point. What if so-and-so hadn't hit the bar? What if that shot had been an inch? There was none of that because it was just too far ahead. Whereas with this one, it is so much closer that she's forever going to, well, not forever, but I mean for a long, long time, going to be thinking, oh, what if that card? What if that tackle? What if that penalty? And I think that is the thing that's going to be the real mental test for them, is that we've just got one trophy to play for, neck and neck at the top. How quickly can they get over that?
Emma Hayes, who's normally so eloquent and speaks very well to her players, was actually speechless in the huddle. And Melanie Llopis just said she had no words. And I think that says it all.
That says it all. I mean, listeners, if you have any opinions on what you think, whether it impacts Emma Hayes' legacy, do let us know. Email us, fte@theathletic.com, or message us on socials at @SophiePenny_. I have to let you go, Charlotte and Katie. We're going to leave you to write your articles for The Athletic.
We're getting kicked out of Stamford Bridge here.
We're getting kicked out. Just very briefly, what's the story everyone should be looking for on The Athletic that you're going to be writing?
Does this game define Emma Hayes' legacy?
And Liars writing about Barcelona. You can read those all on The Athletic. Remember, it's just £1.99 a month for 12 months. Head to theathletic.com/WSL to sign up. You can also hear more reaction to this match on The Athletic's Chelsea podcast, straight out of Cobham, on Monday. That concludes our time at Stamford Bridge. Barcelona knock Chelsea out to reach the Champions League final after goals from Ballon d'Or winner Aitana Bonmatí and Fridolina Rolfo, and a second yellow to a red for Khadija Buchanan. The Champions League final will be on the 25th of May in Bilbao, Spain. We'll have a full preview of that on Full Time Europe. Next time, we'll be back in the virtual studio, but for now, it's goodbye from Stamford Bridge.
You've been listening to Full Time Europe, part of the Athletic Football Podcast Network. The producer was Sophie Penny, and the executive producer was Abby Patterson. To discover and listen to other great Athletic podcasts just like this one, including our brand new daily football briefing, search for The Athletic on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your audio on demand.
The Athletic.
Hi everyone, it's Meg Linehan here. If women's soccer is your calling, I'm excited to say my podcast, Full Time, is back on May 23rd. Join myself and my new amazing co-host, Tamara Griffin, every Thursday as we take a deep dive into the biggest stories in the women's game, from the NWSL to the Olympics. We'll bring you in-depth reporting that only The Athletic can provide, chat to leaders within the industry, and chart the next phase of the U.S. Women's National Team as they look to rebuild. Just search for Full Time wherever you get your podcasts and follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode.